Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
There's a cat over here. There's a cat over there. And the wrong one died. And the wrong one died.
Welcome to The Wrong Cat Died, the podcast breakdown of the catastrophe. I'm your host, Mike Abrams, and today we have another very fun episode. My guests today are extremely knowledgeable in the theater world. They're the co-hosts of Broadway World and the Broadway Podcast Network's Next Year, Some Year and Broken Records. They're also hosting a show called Castoffs at Club Cummings every Monday and Wednesday in New York featuring some previous Grisabellas. So Ben Rimmelauer and Daniel Nolan, welcome to The Wrong Cat Died, and thank you for joining me.
We are so happy to be here.
Meow.
Meow. They can't see me, but I'm licking and grooming myself in the Zoom.
You're doing the practice for the show, which is what they called felinity school in Cats.
Ooh. Miss Nolan's felinity school for girls.
Well, I want to talk about Castoffs, but before we do, I mean, this is a Cats podcast, so we got to set the record straight.
It's Cats Off tonight.
Cats Off. Honey. I want to hear about your experiences with the show. So, like, when did you first see it? I'm assuming you both have seen it at least once. Like, tell me a little bit about your history.
At least. Well, I was living in LA when the show opened, but my mom bought the double LP of the Broadway cast recording with Ms. Betty Buckley and the rest of the gang. And it was one of the few albums that, I mean, I could probably count on my hands and feet all the records my mother ever played for us when we were kids, maybe just my hands. But Cats was one of them. And it was, I guess, 1985 when the national tour came to LA to the Schubert Theater with Kim Criswell as Grisabella. And they took us. And my sister and I both fell asleep, never made it to hear Memory sung. We were just carried out of the theater after the curtain call. And for years, we would be like, I want to see Les Mis. I want to see Phantom. And they were like, I'm not spending $300. You've slept through Cats.
And which is so not fair. I mean, Cats.
So not fair.
Cats is not like the first show to take a kid to.
Well, true. Although the thing is actually like, so I spent years actually kind of like making jokes about Cats. I mean, like when I moved to the city in 98, it was still, the original production was still running. Actually my friends and I one night tried to second act it because we wanted to hear Liz Calloway sing Memory, and Usher chased us out. Like, we did not get away with it. It was crazy. We went running all the way down to like 7th Avenue, but it was like a big joke, you know. I mean, like, there's that line in the play Jeffrey, like, Cats now and forget about it. And, you know, it was always just the easiest punchline was Cats.
All the sitcoms in the 90s.
Totally. You know, and then when the British pop opera phase was over and, like, you know, we had like the producers on Broadway and it was all about like American musical comedy, September 11th, George Bush, rah! You know, it was like not about those British pop operas, and Cats just seemed like the lamest, cheesiest of the whole group. And then when the revival was opening in, I don't know, what
16,
is that? Like
2016.
Yeah.
Recent, yeah.
You would know. I got tickets only because my friend, rest in peace, the late, great, brilliant playwright, David Bell, David wanted to go, and I knew I could get press tickets. And I really went just like as a joke. I was like, I'm probably going to fall asleep again, David. I had the best time of my life. I did not realize Cats is a musical comedy song and dance review. I thought it was going to be like Jekyll and Hyde. It is not. It is a laugh and a half. I loved it so much. The only thing I didn't like was I thought the Grisabella was hideous. She was beautiful.
Was it?
Leona Lewis, beautiful to look at. But
beautiful gowns.
The worst acting I've seen on Broadway since Ricky Martin and Evita. And that says a lot. And so I was, but I loved the show. And then when she left, and now I can't remember the name of the actress that replaced. Mimi Paris. I saw a clip of her and I was like, oh, she's good. And I was like, I can't believe I'm saying this, but I gotta go back. And so I went back again to see it, loved it again, loved Mimi. She held that high note in memory longer than anybody ever held anything in their life. And then I was trying to have sex with this kid from Argentina who had never seen a Broadway show. And I was like, well, you know, I could, not a kid, but the part I shouldn't make, he was like, you know, 28 or something, but, you know, a kid to me. And he was like, I was like, what do you want to see? And he was like, Cats. And I was like, done and done.
Wait, so this is the third time you're going now?
Well, I went to see the revival a third time and I loved it all over again. I mean, absolutely loved it, soup to nuts.
I mean, not to spill your personal tea, Benji, but I have to say, this seems like a trend. I mean, last week, didn't you see another musical for the second time because some visiting 20-something wanted to see a show and you could get press tickets?
Wait, what was that?
When you took
MJ.
Yeah,
that was different. MJ, I went in knowing what I was getting into.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, MJ, I actually liked more when I saw it the first time than when I went back again. I almost wish I hadn't gone back again. And that was a weird situation. I thought you were talking about with Miss Saigon, but that wasn't to get laid. That was to take my cousin Linda from Long Island.
Oh.
But both cases, Cats and Miss Saigon, there were these pop operas that I'd been taking a dump on for decades. And now I went back and I was like, this show's great.
I love it.
I love everything about this story. So how old were you when you saw it as a kid when you fell asleep?
In 1985, I was either 8 or 9.
Okay. We can get into this debate now. I have gripes with children that age seeing the show, different than your child that you brought in 2018 or 17 that you're just calling a child.
The adult man child that I was trying to have sex with.
But a child, I mean, when you break down the plot, and I've spent a lot of time thinking about this, there is a sexual abuse scene, there is an orgy. There is to this show.
I've seen the show 4 times. I did not know there was rape or an orgy anywhere in the story.
So the ball is an orgy.
I had no idea.
The ball's an orgy?
The ball's an orgy.
Wait, are you like queering the narrative or is that actually the plot?
My knowledge is based off conversations with a lot of people who have been in it and have validated the rumor mill on the internet.
Who've been in it? Well, I mean, wasn't T.S. Eliot like a closeted homosexual?
That
doesn't mean it was all about an orgy.
Well, no, I'm just saying like secret subtext.
secrets.
Demeter's character, you know, who sings Macavity's song, is the one of the known.
Great fucking song.
and a great known thing. Yeah, a great gay pun too.
Macavity, like sexually abused by Macavity. Truth of the show.
Oh, that makes sense. Now that I think about like the choreography and when he like grabs her and claws her, like that symbolism makes sense to me now.
Yeah, I guess because they were cats, I didn't take it to that. But really, that is what happens.
And the white cat, so Victoria's dance, is her coming of age, which is supposed to be her virginity.
Oh,
well, the movie ruined the white cat for me. I mean, the movie ruined all the cats for me, frankly, especially the white one.
That movie, I have to say, was the last movie I saw in theaters before COVID hit. So it was like really left a bad taste in my mouth.
Yeah, I think the movie is responsible for the pandemic.
I mean, yeah, it's it can't.
The
be
world
disproved.
Turned when everyone saw it for sure. Yeah. Okay, so
the two years of shutdown with coronavirus went by faster than the 90 minutes I spent at the movie of Cats.
Okay. I love that you had a struggling history with it growing up. It potentially ruined some of the other shows you could have saw with your family. But then 2016 and beyond, you're a fan. And I will say Mamie's version is insane of Griselda. And I did also see Leona Lewis as a preview and it was an experience. So that's all I'm gonna say about that. All right, Daniel, your turn.
I mean, she has a great voice, and she's a beautiful woman. I mean, I'm not trashing everything about her.
I mean, her song Bleeding Love had an iron grip on me in 2007.
Oh, this is good to know.
Yeah, it's a great song. Beautiful gowns. Well, my experience with Cats was also as a kid, but I was, I want to say I was a little older. I was in fourth grade, I think. How old would that be? Like 11?
To me, it's teenagers and above. You know, if you were 15 or 16, you might have got some of the innuendos. But, you know, if you saw it as an adult like I did, or, you know, if you see it 13 or under, those are kind of really the buckets that I have for this.
I was definitely 13 and under. But my sister and I, whenever the infomercial would come on TV advertising for the VHS of the production starring Elaine Page.
Oh, yeah.
We would be like, Mom, get it for us, get it for us. And, you know, back then there was there was like barely an internet. So like my mom, you know, ordered it from the TV and it arrived and
for like $75, right?
$75. So fucking expensive. You had to like pay extra for the box. So it arrived. And I mean, as you can imagine, it took us like, I think it took us like, you know, six tries to finally get to act two. You know, we just kind of watched like the first few numbers like over and over again because it's a little boring for kids. And so we could never like get that far. So we'd either fall asleep or lose interest or turn something else on. And finally, you know, just organically, it happened that we finally watched the whole thing and finished it. And I finally got to see Memory. And then I was obsessed. After I finally took the whole journey, I became really obsessed. And I was especially obsessed with the character of Jemima, who sings the little, like, you know, the little memory whenever Grisabella, like, falls down and Jemima comes up and she's like,
Jemima's been canceled.
Turn your face to the moon. Really?
Yeah, she's been renamed.
Oh, to what's it called? Like
Bombalurina or something?
No, I forget what it is. She's been renamed, but it's Syllabub, it's been renamed. It's not Jemima.
Wait, has she really been renamed for real? Yeah.
That was a long time ago, I think.
Yeah.
Because I didn't even know. I didn't even, until you said that, Mike, I didn't even know that was why. I thought it was changed just like one of those, like, because I didn't take it as like an Aunt Jemima. I thought it was like Jemima Kirk from Girls, like just like a British Jemima.
And is that they not what it is? To,
like, a more American name, like Syllabub.
Yeah. Syllabub. I don't know why they changed it or they canceled it. They have a history of changing some ensemble characters just to change them.
Just to change
so, like, my, yeah, like Peter is the one I hate, which is the Gus Bustopher Jones ensemble character who was named in 2016 Peter. Because to your point, it's Syllabub and Rum Tum Tugger and Mustafiles and then Peter.
Maybe that's why they renamed Jemima, was because it was too much of like a real human name.
Possibly. But they sing, that's Little Memory. So that's the song, that's the part that you're talking about, is the
Little Memory.
Little Memory. Aww. Going into act
one. Yeah, no, we should do that duet sometime.
Yes. Yeah, that would be great. We should do that at Betty Buckley. We'll be our own guest stars.
We will. That's a good thing you said that, because we lost one.
We lost one. Anyway, but I loved Jemima so much that, I mean, this really tells you the age I was living in, which was, this was probably like 2000 exactly.
The VHS that came out in 98.
Oh, I love your stats. So I would play the VHS on my TV and then I would get my little tape recorder and record that clip, Little Memory, because I loved it so much and I thought her voice was so beautiful. And then I would play it. I'd have my mom play it in the car and I would just play it over and over again, just like horrible quality, like a cassette recording from a VHS TV combo. And anyway, and then one of my first cats that I had, we had many cats, we lived out in the country. And one of the first cats I had, I named Jemima after that cat. Yeah. Wow. But I've never seen it live. Yeah, I mean, I've only seen it on VHS, though. I did not see the revival, unfortunately. I did see the movie, unfortunately.
Okay, so never live. You know it's touring right now, so you've got some time.
We do.
Mm.
My sister and her husband saw it in Arkansas when it was touring through there.
It was actually touring for my family in Indiana. My mom found the ticket. It was supposed to be there April of 2020, and so it did not make it because of the pandemic. But it was like a stop or two away from making it there.
So close.
We'll go on. It's 40 years in production. There'll be another version, I'm sure, to see. Love that you've seen the VHS. A lot of the guests I've had have burned through the VHSs. Like, they watched it so many times, ruined. Mm. And it's pretty much the, you know, excluding 2019's debacle. The one that people can reference, it's like the one version you can find. So it's actually after I saw live twice when I was starting to prepare for this podcast, I did watch that version. I found it, downloaded it on an iPad and watched it on a plane. And let me tell you, the looks that you get sitting on a plane watching Cats on an iPad is quite an experience. I love that that's like you infomercialed it. You like took a type of recording device to record it on a cassette tape and then played it in the car.
Yeah, that I mean, times was hard.
Blast from a past. But that's a throwback right there for in every sense of the word.
Totally, totally. And I mean, I just remember they were really hanging their hat on Elaine Page. Like that was like the big, you know, they were like starring Elaine Page, you know, on like Channel 4 in Tecumseh, Oklahoma. I was like, great, whoever she is. But, you know, eventually that belt won me over.
That's what Patti LuPone said too.
I love it. Okay.
That's all she said.
I want to pivot to cast-offs because I want to hear a little bit about, I read a little bit about what you're doing, but tell me a little bit about what you're doing, how it's working. And then for anybody that's in New York, like how they can come. And then I want to play some of the games from it. A little, yes. I know about anything not catch related.
Well, we have had our podcast on Broadway Podcast Network for a few years now, called Broken Records. And that podcast evolved over the course of the pandemic in different ways. And one of the things we did was launch the live stream, which we're not doing anymore. But we had a weekly live stream called Next Year, Some Year, and which was honestly mostly just a way for me and Daniel to hang out when we were really in social distancing mode. But we made a lot of friends around the world on BPN and Broadway World when we were doing it. And that's where we developed some of the games. And then Daniel had the brilliant idea to to launch a live stage version basically of the live stream. And it was actually perfect for us because we had already, we had gotten a booking to do a live recording of Broken Records in Provincetown the summer of 2020 that was canceled when those venues were closed and moved to 2021. And so we decided instead of doing a live podcast recording in front of an audience, we would do that as like a tryout for what we were planning to start at Club Cumming in the fall. So that is what we're doing, calling it Cast-Offs. And it's every, this can be, by the time this comes out, people will know that it's been Wednesdays, but it's going to be Mondays at 8 p.m. every week at Club Cumming in the East Village. And it's free. And just in the honor of Patti LuPone's Stop Taking Pictures speech at Gypsy, where she said that she and the rest of the company appreciate the people in the audience who followed the rules. Since the days of our live stream, have a segment called Appreciation Station, where we pay tribute to great artists and things that we love, usually in musical theater adjacent. And so every week of our show Cast-Offs, we do appreciate someone or something. And we've recently had a series of guest stars come and help us pay tribute to those that we're appreciating by singing a song associated with them. And we've got some great ones coming up, including, as we discussed, the original Tony-winning star of Cats, Ms. Betty Buckley, Betty Lynn Buckley, the greatest Grizabella that ever walked the earth, will be appreciating her on Monday, March 14th, and we will have a very special guest there to help us pay tribute.
That's right.
Leona Lewis.
Or possibly
right?
Me and Daniel singing the duet version of that.
It's Leona Lewis. It's definitely Leona Lewis.
Can you imagine? Oh my God. Leona. First of all, don't listen to the Wrong Cat Died podcast. thank you.
We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back for more of The Wrong Cat Died.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. Suf's the original new musical from Shayna Taub is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
I think that's really cool, and I think you also did Lewis White, right? You've appreciated.
Yes,
that's
right.
We just did
Isabella's.
Yes,
we're also doing Laurie Beachman, right?
Yes, that's right. A fabulous Grisabella. Though a great Grisabella that one of my regrets. I mean, I never saw Patty in Evita, and I never saw Barbara in Funny Girl, and I never saw Laurie Beachman in Cats.
Mm. Well, I love it. So it is some fun games. People that are in New York can come free, which is great. So it's yes. Can show up, and I'm sure we'll link all the stuff too in the episode description. Tell me about one of the games, and which game are we going to try to play?
Well, it is called Cast Offs because like a bake off, except instead of sharing baked goods, we're sharing casting ideas. All of our games are sort of related to like Broadway casting. And probably the most popular game we have that we've been playing for years, even before the podcast, is a game we made up called Dolly Concert Kill. I think we could actually play a special version for you, which we could be Grisabella Concert Kill.
Yes.
And so
that's great.
You know, we'll pick three names. Maybe we could even each one of the three of us could suggest a name. And then each one of us has to choose for themselves which one of the three they want to see as Grisabella, which one they want to see in concert, and which one they want to send to the Heaviside Lair.
That's what it is.
It's Grisabella Concert Heaviside Lair.
I love it.
Although Grisabella goes to the Heaviside Lair, but you get the gist.
Right. I love it.
Well, it's nicer because it seems like that's what they all want to do, you know?
Yeah, and that's we'll get there because that's kind of going to be how we end this podcast, is Grisabella that right choice? But okay, ooh. I like the game. So who wants to throw out the first name?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, we just said them, right? Do we want to go Lilias, Betty Buckley, and Laurie Beachman?
Too soon.
Too soon. I mean, you know, you're always going to come up against someone who's already in that headset.
I don't know. I feel like Mike might not be familiar with Laurie Beachman.
She was Grisabella, and that's about it.
We could do Lilias, Betty Buckley, and Elaine Page.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
They're all still that
great international star, Elaine Page.
Okay. I would like one of you two to go first. I want to hear the experts kick us off.
Well, Ben, why don't you go since I suggested it?
All right. Lilias, Betty Buckley, and Elaine Page. Well, God, it's hard because, I mean, I'm definitely killing Elaine Page. You can start with that. She can go on the ultimate final Brexit.
Yeah, honey.
It's a really tough call between Lilias and Betty because, I mean, obviously I want to see Betty in her iconic role, but I also have to say that Betty is one of my all-time favorite concert performers. I mean, some of her albums, oh my God, her live albums, Betty Buckley, An Evening at Carnegie Hall, and Betty Buckley, the London concert are so thrilling. I mean, they're up there with Judy Garland at Carnegie Hall. And actually, to give Betty a plug, coming out this week is a new album on Palmetto Records and wherever music is streamed. Betty Buckley sings Stephen Sondheim. And some of the tracks are new, but many of them, most of them, are from all her Sterling Records albums from the 90s that never were released on streaming.
From the vault.
Including many tracks from those two I just mentioned. So everybody should check that out. But of course, it's Sondheim, so there's no cats there. So It's like, I want to see Betty in concert, but I also want to see, I think I have to see Betty as Grisabella because there's just no, I mean, it's like Patty and Evita also where I reject Elaine Page because, you know, and you just, you know, it when you see Betty sing Memory that it's like everybody else, no tea, no shade. I mean, I told you how much I loved Mamie and that revival, you know, but it's like everybody else is kind of like singing the song. They could be on American Idol, you know, and Betty just like, you know, she does that thing where she squats down on the ground, even from the beginning when she like sticks her hand out and like fingers in cat formation. And it's just, it's thrilling. She takes you back to the Winter Garden in 1982. And then Lilias White is always thrilling. And to see Lilias in concert is never less than goosebumps. So that would be my choice. And once again, in case it wasn't clear, I would kill Elaine Page.
Okay, this is very well thought through, so I love it. Daniel?
Well, do you want me to answer the same one, or Ben, do you want to give me one? Do you have any other burning...
Sure, I always do.
I mean, I would love to get your option.
Okay, for you, Daniel, I would like to hear choice between... So it's Grisabella concert, Heaviside Layer. So your choices will be Liz Callaway.
Okay.
And Christine Ebersole.
Okay, I like where this is going.
And Kelly O'Hara.
Oh, all soprano Grisabellas. Well, or mixy Grisabellas.
The Mixabellas.
The meow Mixabellas. this is good. Wait, did Christine ever play Grisabella?
No, although I do feel like I've heard her sing Memory, but I might be making that up.
Yeah.
I don't think
she was in the Andrew Lloyd Webber Kennedy Center Honors, but I think she sang As If We Never Said Goodbye, and Betty Buckley and Sarah Brightman did our syllabub Jemima version of Memory.
Oh, that's amazing. I mean, yeah. I mean, Sarah Brightman as a cat named syllabub is my everything.
She's a
silly bub. Okay.
She sings my favorite version of Macavity, though, I will say.
She is so crazy. I'm obsessed.
But she's
with
like Brightman. A jazz broad when she sings.
Oh yeah, honey, those cat eyes of hers, just streaming out. All right, Liz Callaway, Christine Ebersole, and Kelly O'Hara. Ooh. Okay. I want Christine as Grisabella because of the acting. Mm. You know, I think she's so good at interpreting and delivering an 11 o'clock number, and I think she will really make it poignant and make it really devastating and then give you the full arc, and she will make the most of her, like, you know, 12 minutes on stage. Kelly O'Hara, I love her for her voice, so that is who I want to see in concert, because that no one's voice can throw me quite like Kelly's. She has a true gift, and I would love to see her at, like, Carnegie Hall, you know, somewhere where she can really just sing all the soprano songs I want her to sing. Mm. And then Liz Callaway, she can go up to the Heaviside Layer. Maybe she and Anne can do a two-hander up there.
Have you two ever talked through how, you know, you're a great duo here and the psychology behind how, Ben, you were just like, here's who I'm killing first. And Daniel, you're like, hey, let me walk through my other reason. I have to kill one of them. Have you unpacked that?
But it is very Elaine Page specific. Okay.
There are definitely some people you could say that would trigger Daniel into homicide mode before he casts anything.
Absolutely. Okay. We all have our kill triggers.
Okay. Now, who are my three people?
I mean, well, let's make it interesting. Yeah. How about Sutton Foster? You know who that is, right?
I do.
Okay. And Idina Menzel and Kristen Chenoweth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The new gen. And so I've got Wicked.
The new gen is 50.
the newer than Betty Buckley gen.
Yeah. The kids.
Yeah. Okay. I'm more... Yeah, I'd more Daniel in the sense that I'm going to work my way to a process of elimination Heaviside Layer.
You got to work your way to the kill. Yeah.
So I think I would like to see Idina Menzel do Grisabella because I think that that's just like such a powerful
belting song, and that's kind of where I, you know, the Let It Go and some of the stuff in Wicked, I think would be really cool to see that version.
Yeah, good choice.
I don't know enough about Sutton Foster's musical chops, so it's going to be Process Elimination that I'd rather see Kristen Chenoweth's. You know, I saw her in Glee years ago. Like, I think she can, you know, I know a little bit from that. I think that's the concert I want to see. And then for Sutton Foster is just Process of Elimination. She's going to get on the tire and she's going to go up to the heavyside layer.
Yep. Yep.
That works.
That works.
I love it.
I think
it.
Those are the good choices.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Let's switch gears here and you're going to play a little bit of my game now, where we're going to do a couple cats rapid fire questions before we debate this important question. So my first question for both of you two is, if you were in the show, if you were a cat, which track would you want to perform?
I mean, I would want to perform, I know who Ben would want to perform, and that's who I want him to perform.
Thank you, darling.
I would want to perform Monkey Strap. Is he like the main like little the narrator. Like, leader cat?
Mm-hmm.
The narrator. Because he doesn't have to do a lot of like heavy dancing. Like I would never want to be like Rum Tum Tugger or Mistopheles or the Railway Cat, because they have like really dance heavy songs.
Yeah,
they have
F that.
F that. I would do Monkey Strap, and I would you know, have some things in my contract saying that like I can move but not dance. But I would change, as you know, to gay it up a bit, even more than T.S. Eliot already did. I would change my name to Jockustrap.
I mean, I don't know if you need to. Monkey Strap already sounds like gay fetish gear.
I mean, so many of these names do. I mean, if you think about it, they all sound like gay slang, like Rum Tum Tugger, Rumple Teaser. Hello.
Yes.
Griddlebone. Oh, Griddlebone.
You're killing me.
I mean, it's like, give my Griddlebone a Rum Tum Tugger till I bust a Fur Jones in your cavity.
Stop it. Oh my God. The crazy thing is, the gayest one is Skimbleshanks the Railway Cat, but yeah, those are gay names. You are right.
Isn't it Mistopheles? It's got to be Mistopheles, I mean, right?
He's very gay too. He's like the magician, you know?
I think we only think that because, I mean, he's very beautiful and talented, Tyler Haynes, but he's like one of our people. Mm. But like, I feel like when it's like Terrence Mann doing like a Elvis impression, it's maybe, I don't know, I guess it's still kind of Tim Curry-ish.
I will tell you, Tugger is, as a duo, is the majority of the fan fiction that's out there. And it is all very erotic fan fiction.
Oh. Oh, but a little Rum Tum Tugger, Old Deuteronomy situation.
Yeah. Mistopheles, I think, is because in the VHS, he dances with a rainbow like flag, or like he has a rainbow part of his dance. And so I think that that's kind of what of the, you know, but the cats are fluid. There's no genders. There's no like cats at the end of the day.
But also when Cats opened in 1982, it was before the homosexuals had pervertized the innocent rainbow flag.
Yes.
It still just meant rainbows. But the
movie was 98. And so that's when I don't think it's in the stage production. I think they added it for the movie.
They crossed a street to make that show disgusting.
Yeah. But the movie also has some like fake lightning in his dance that they added in. So, you know, that's the high effects they got in 98.
Oh my God. They added some lightning, but they couldn't fucking add shadows on those feet.
Oh no, this was the new movie had plenty of other issues in itself. This was the 98.
You're talking about that. Well, that's so funny you say that, because after I watched the movie in cinemas, then I went home and watched clips from the 98, and I was like, this is just, even like the camera work, the direction, like this is so much better as a film than that actual movie was.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Ben, who are you?
Grisabella.
Okay. Now I'm going to flip.
Lead.
I'm going to flip it. If you get to pick for each other.
The same, I feel.
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely, I think Ben could do Grisabella, not only because he's right for the role, but because it's a very Patti LuPone track. It's like you get to sit backstage for the first half of the show, and then you come out and do like your big number, and then you get to go back to sitting backstage. Yeah. It's like
15 minutes.
You know, they offered me the part, but I had just done an Angela Dwyer show.
I love it. Okay, who is your favorite and least favorite cat? Like, which character love and hate?
Oh, good question.
Well, My favorite is definitely Grisabella, although I have a very soft spot for, is it Old Deuteronomy that sings the, like, is it somebody, is it Monkeystrap that sings his song? Like, yes, no, hi. Yeah.
That's Monkeystrap, right?
That's so beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, look at that. My other favorite was yours, Daniel. But I hate all the boring dancing ones. Like, what's the little ones? It was like those little, like...
Mungo Jerry and Rumpel Teaser.
Mungo Jerry and Rumpel Teaser. More like cut.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I it's hard for me because I want to say Grisabella, but I mean, I guess Grisabella just because she has the big like money song, but I also really love, like Gus, the theater cat. Like, I love all the old cats, you know, who's the one who's like the older lady cat? Who's like
Jenny Annie Dots.
Oh, I like her too, because
she's enjoyable.
She likes to sit and sit just like I do.
Same.
I love Gus the Theater Cat just because I feel like an old theater queen is always my people, you know?
But I kind of feel like without having like reality cam footage of 1985, I probably fell asleep during Gus the Theater Cat, like full
pleasure. Oh, definitely. You definitely were out cold during that part. Unless you might have saw the pirate scene though. Like if you saw the whole piece.
No, I was not one of these kids that was like, oh, cool. Will there be pirates?
Fair. Okay. Daniel, who's your least favorite?
Oh, I mean...
Elaine Page.
No. I guess, honestly, like, maybe the Rum Tum Tugger. I mean, he's never appealed to me. You know, wow, he's always just been a little too, like flashy. Like, I don't know. I never quite, you know, got in with the Rum Tum Tugger.
You might have gotten into him if you saw Tyler Haynes shimmying around in the black leotard.
I might have, and I'm available for the videos to be sent to me. Yeah. Anyone who's listening who has footage of Tyler Haynes in those tights.
we can ask Tyler if he just has pictures of himself in those or videos of him. He's been a guest. Right, he's been a great guest.
Just have him send his whole phone. We'll sort through.
I'm like, can you just send me your album? I'll do the sorting. It's no big deal.
No need to go curate.
I'll have my intern do it. His name is Rumpel Teaser.
Yeah. Okay. Now we got to ask the $1 million question, and I'm aware that I've spent way more time thinking about this than any world. But I do not think Grisabella should be the choice for the Heaviside layer. Mm. I feel they're going to argue for her. Here, do you think she was the right Jellicle choice for the Heaviside layer? And if not, who are you going to defend or argue for?
What do you mean? Isn't the criteria just as being like who most deserves to like have the life?
So the plot of Cats is very up for debate, as you are very... So the criteria, I think, is a very interesting question that we don't really know the answer to because we only have a glimpse into one or and one choice. So I don't know the answer to that. I have my thoughts, but I do think it's who's most deserving or who needs it the most. But I think that this can dictate your answer. So it is a very good first question.
Mm. Well, she's most deserving because she was a great star who was important in the cat community and has been completely cast aside and treated like crap. I mean, it's just because she's a woman because, you know, Gus the theater cat, like he's been cast aside, but he can still like teach and work in summer stock. And he's like in the Actors Fund Zoom with Seth Rudetsky. But Grisabella is just like, people just spit at her in the gutter, you know? So she needs it and she deserves it because she has the best voice.
Totally. I mean, Gus the Theater Cat is probably like, you know, doing episodes of Star Trek or something. And Grisabella can barely get like a Murder, She Wrote episode in here and there.
Yeah. But I'm telling Betty.
Okay. Now, do you think there's part of the rumor is that Grisabella left the tribe to do some bad things and is coming back. And that's why they don't like her. So does that change?
Isn't it? Don't you think it's a little slut-shamey though? Because like, you know, she's wearing like the fishnets and the fur coat. And so she kind of has like this woman of the night vibe. And I feel
the
like that's
glamour cat,
the glamour
like a taxi
cat.
Dancer.
And I feel like it's very like Handmaid's Tale whenever, you know, she's walking up and they're all like, you know, rare. And they're outcasting her. They're casting her off, you might say. And
Game of Thrones also.
Game of Thrones. It's like, they're like, blessed be the fruit. Like, you know, but like away with you because you embarrass us because of your choices. So I feel like Grisabella went and, you know, was a stripper or whatever. And now she's coming back to be accepted by her home tribe and they are not having it.
You know who embarrasses me because of their choices?
I
enough about Elaine Page.
We moved on. But I don't know. I mean, I don't want to shit on your whole thesis, but I do think Grisabella is deserving because they're making up for how they've treated her.
The whole reason I've brought people on is to try to argue for her. I do think there's, but I think there are questions that you have to ask. And I think, Ben, you asked the first one, which is what is criteria? And then I think, Daniel, you asked a really important one too, is what happened when she left that we don't really know? So we don't know what she did. Was she exiled? Was she, sex worker? We don't know. We get one glimpse into it. My kind of belief though is that if she's coming back and they're going to start accepting her, why are we immediately killing her? Why doesn't she get to spend time with her family?
Well, true, but I got the feeling she doesn't have much family.
Yeah.
But also it's like, maybe they're killing her, but like, in the Cats cinematic universe, like that is something that like they're wanting, you know, like that is like the reward. I mean, you know, whether it's a little bit Shirley Jackson, the lottery, you know, where it's like the winner gets literally stoned to death, but like, you know, it is something that they're aspiring to. So maybe it's like a release, like you get to go to like the next life, you know, it's seen as like reincarnation or whatever. Like for them, that might be a positive.
Yeah, it's definitely a reward. I mean, saw Leona Lewis, so I did think it was like the X Factor. And instead of $1 million, you just get killed. So that was how I kind of interpreted the show to begin with. I want to throw a theory for you two, because I think you both will appreciate it, is one fan rumor, not my fan rumor, is that this is just old Deuteronomy's way as a serial killer to hide his murders. And every year he's killing somebody else. And this is the cover of it, is the cult Jellicle Ball.
More power to him.
I love that. He's like the Charles Manson of the Jellicles.
Exactly.
That's how I want to die. I want to go painlessly with 100% confidence. I'm going to a better place thinking I won a contest.
After having delivered a devastating 11 o'clock number.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, it's the showstopper to end. And then, although it doesn't end, as the new movie really hammered home, is that there's a showstopper and you're going to get just like Judi Dench is going to talk to you and, you know, break the fourth wall for 5 more minutes to end the movie.
Whatever happened with her hand? Wasn't there some big debacle over her human hand?
I did see a press viewing and they clearly rushed production to finish and they did not finish in time. And that's why there's the whole cut and all these other like rumors that are out there that's a whole thing. If you, Seth Rogen went way deep on it, that there's supposed to be a cut where they didn't edit out the cat's buttholes. But they didn't finish. And so the first week of the show, if you saw it the very first week, there was a sound guy in the background. If you caught it, there was her hand was not like, it was just a human hand, something in the frame. So it's like, they just didn't finish in time. So there was a lot of things, but there's so much going on that it was like, I didn't notice most of them, but then I saw the screenshots and it's like, oh, they missed.
But like, that is not what's wrong with the movie.
I mean,
that is exactly
many
right.
Things. Yeah.
I would forgive them a lot more like boom mics in sloppy shots if they were good at storytelling.
Right.
There was, that's a separate episode for us if we want to get into that. I appreciate you both coming on. I want to hear how can we, one, you know, stay in touch with Castoff, stay in touch with you. Let's shamelessly plug everything here.
Well, you can follow us across all social media, Ben Rimmelauer and Daniel Nolan.
He's Nolan with an E. Thank you so much. I was just
and I'm Rimmelauer with an Lauer. I don't know. If you know, just Google like gay guy Patti LuPone, like, you know, glasses or something. And then also, in addition, Club Cumming is just, you know, a good Instagram account to follow to get the information for the show. And, you know, if people forget how to spell Nolan and never had a prayer of Rimmelauer, hopefully they can do Cumming. Although it is singular Cumming, like, I'm coming, as opposed to fake plural Cummings, like I often see people say, which is not Alan's name.
No. Yeah. Named after Alan Cumming, for those who don't know.
The cat we have yet to see.
Yes, the Grisabella yet to be cast. Although he's probably more of, who would he play? I mean, in back in the day, he would have been a great Monkey Strap, but he could still do Monkey Strap, probably.
Yeah, he could do a couple. There would be a couple Playboy ads. Yes, I had to autocorrect because the S got added, and I'm like, okay, I know that's not correct. So I did fix that in my own notes. But
It's Apple's fault.
Exactly.
Totally. It's Marty Gould Cummings' fault.
Oh, Marty too. But if we were Barbara Streisand, and if Steve Jobs were still alive, we could just call him up and ask him to change the spelling.
That's like right.
He did with Barbara.
What if that never really happened and just like Barbara like sent an email and then it was fixed because like her assistant went on her phone and just like updated like the like dictionary, you
know? Yeah, Renata, she had her head in a box full of Triscuits and Renata went and changed the settings.
Barbara's like, it's so wonderful, I just send an email to Steve Jobs at info@apple.com.
Meanwhile, this is a week after his death and she had no idea.
Love it. Absolutely. We will also link everything in the description for everyone that's too lazy to try to guess the spelling.
Oh, I forgot it myself.
I know, sometimes.
And thanks for listening to this episode of The Wrong Cat Died, the podcast breakdown of the catastrophe. To follow along, you can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you listen to podcasts. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at The Wrong Cat Died, or check out our website, thewrongcatdied.com.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.
If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah. Not there.
No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.